This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Bruchim Abayim. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming. We'd like to welcome all of our Torah Anytime viewers. Just briefly, I was asked to mention that this coming Tisha B'Av, TorahAnytime.com is launching a new Tisha B'Av program that's going to be streaming live on Tisha B'Av. So if anyone's not able to make it to shul, they could take a look at the programs on that website. It's always good to come out on a Wednesday night, but especially on a legal holiday. The Chida tells us on the pasuk in Tehillim, it says, "Ki ekach moyed ani meisharim eshbayt bnei adam." Very interesting pasuk. Ki ekach moyed, when I take a holiday, then I'm able to judge people. And the Chida points out that while we're always obligated to make sure that our main priority in life is kihem chayinu v'aruch yamenu, is limud haTorah, nevertheless, when it comes to certain days of the year, Ribbono Shel'olam will say, "Rabbi Yid, what happened? How come you didn't spend your time learning?" So during the rest of the year, a person perhaps could excuse himself by saying, "I was busy, I had to make a living, had to pay the bills, so forth." But then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, "But what did you do on July 4th? You were off. You had nothing better to do. You had a whole day, hours and hours and hours." So if a person's not going to have an excuse for July 4th, then not only is the Ribbono Shel Olam going to judge a person for July 4th, then the Ribbono Shel Olam judges a person for the entire year. Says the Chida, "Ki ekach moed." The Ribbono Shel Olam says, "I will look at the days off you had, and then, ani meisharim eshbayt bnei adam, then I'll be able to judge you." But at least if a person comes to learn on the legal holidays, at least a little bit, there's some hamlatza, there's some excuse for the rest of the days. Okay. This evening we're going to examine a unique phenomenon in Jewish history, which we see and we find only with the Jewish people. And that is, if we were to analyze the histories of the nations of the world, you know, we would plug them into the machine and we would see, you know, the chart, the peaks and the valleys. So most of the nations of the world, you know, you plug them into the EKG, most of the nations of the world would be basically flat. Sometimes they're more successful, sometimes they're less successful, but basically they have a certain stability. However, if we were to plug the Jewish people into this machine, it would come out a lot differently than any of the nations of the world. You would see unparalleled peaks, times of unparalleled success for the Jewish people. Financial success, economic success, social success, political success. Times when we've reached the top, the highest possible level any nation could reach. And other times, unfortunately, we've experienced the worst tragedies, the worst catastrophes, the lowest of the low. We've fallen rock bottom. Me'igra rama labira amikta. Why is that? Why is that? Why is the history of Klal Yisrael so full of unparalleled success and then terrible disaster? How do we explain that? How do we explain this phenomenon? And in fact, the Gemara already in Masechta Megillah points out that the Jewish people are compared to two different items. Number one, we are compared to the dust. And on the other hand, we're compared to the stars. When Haman comes home and tells his wife Zeresh and the Chachamim about what's happening with him and Mordechai, so what does Zeresh say to Haman? Im yizera ha-yehudim Mordechai asher hachivoysa limpa lefanav loy suchaloy. If Mordechai is a descendant of the Jews that you've begun to fall before him, you will not prevail. Why? Ki nafal tipol lefanav, you will surely fall before him. And the Gemara Megillah is medayik. The Gemara infers, what are these two nefilos? What are these two fallings? Ki nafal tipol, says the Gemara Megillah. If you look at number one, shtei nefilos halalu lama. What are these two fallings referring to? Says the Gemara, umazu meshula laafar, umeshula lekaychavim. This nation is compared to the dust, compared to the stars. Kishahein yardin, yardin ad afar. When they fall rock bottom. And when they rise to the stars. So this is not just a phenomenon that we observe. This is a phenomenon that the Gemara tells us the Jewish people are destined to face. We are destined either to reach rock bottom or to reach the highest peaks. We're compared to the dust, we're compared to the stars. Why is that? Why is that the pattern of history that Klal Yisrael follows? And we find elsewhere, the Gemara in Ksubas tells us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Ashreichem Yisrael, the Jewish people are fortunate, because when they do the will of Hashem, no nation can have any dominion over them. And when we don't do the will of Hashem, then not only will we be delivered in the hands of the lowest of the low, not only will we be delivered in the hands of the worst enemy, the animals of the worst enemy will have dominion over us. That's the fate of the Jewish people. Either we're on top of the world, or walking in the clouds, or everyone's stepping all over us. How do we understand that? Why? Why? Why is that the pattern of our history? So, we turn to a few very difficult psukim in this week's parasha. After Balak summons Bilam, and Bilam's ready, he's standing there on the mountain, he's overlooking the Jewish people, he sees the majesty of Klal Yisrael, the pasuk tells us, Vayisa Mishaloi Vayoymar Min Aram Yancheni Balak Melech Mayav Meharei Kedem. Balak, you know where you summoned me from? You summoned me from Aram. And you told me, L'cha'ara li'Yakov, go curse the Jewish people, U'l'cha'zayama Yisrael, go direct your anger toward Yisrael. And the first question we need to ask is, why in the world is Bilam telling Balak, by the way, you know where you got me from? You got me from Aram. No kidding. But you don't think, Balak knew exactly where he got him from. Balak had to pay big bucks to hire Bilam. He went there, he sent his messengers, and he got Bilam. We don't think Balak knew where Bilam got, you know, right? You sign a free agent, right? You pay him a lot of money, and you say, you know where I just got you from? I took you off this team. Really? No kidding, right? Obviously. Why in the world is Bilam introducing his drasha by saying, Balak, you know where you got me from? You got me from Aram. Of course you got him from Aram. This is important. And let's say he would have got him from Brooklyn, it would have made a difference. Well, who cares where he got him from? And then he says like this. He says, Ma'akov lo ikabai kel. How could I curse what God isn't cursing? Uma ezoim lozom Hashem. How could I get angry at what Hashem's not getting angry at? And then he says the following. Ki meirosh tsurim erenu. I see him from the top of the rocks. Umigvais ashurenu. I see them from the hills. So think carefully. What is this referring to? Rashi points out, and it's quoted in number 16, Bilam was making reference to the origins of the Jewish people. What did he mean, ki meirosh tsurim erenu? Bilam says, I look and I seek out and I investigate the origins of the Jewish people. What are the origins of the Jewish people? The Avos HaKadosh, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And I see they are standing on firm ground. They are standing on, what's the Latin expression? Right? Firm earth. Terra what?
Terra firma.
Terra firma. They're situated. They're standing right in our shir in the morning. We have to quote a Latin phrase at least once a day, right? We're standing on firm ground. They're chazak. They are firmly implanted. Why? Because they're based on their avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And they're standing on their imahis, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. So now we turn to a most wondrous sefer called the Drashos of the Nachlas David. The Nachlas David was Rav David Tevel. Rav David Tevel was the Talmud Muvak of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, of course, was the primary disciple of the Vilna Gaon. And Rav David Tevel was one of the Talmidim of Hakim, one of the main Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhiner from the time that he was 15 years old. He was a student in the Volozhiner Yeshiva. And this is a piece that was made well known by a great rabbi, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein. This is a piece that he came across and he made popular. And we're going to delve into this piece and elaborate on it. And what the Nachas David points out over here is that why is it in Pasuk Tes, look what Bilam is saying. He refers to the strength of the Avos HaKadoshim. He refers to the strength of the Imahis. But yet he uses a slightly different terminology when referring to the Avos than when he refers to the Imahis. When he refers to the Tzurim are the Avos, he says, Ki mei roish Tzurim. I see the heads of the Avos. When he refers to the Imahis, which are called Gevais, the hills, he doesn't use the description mei roish Gevais. Again, when he refers to the Tzurim, Ki mei roish Tzurim arenu, when he's looking at the Avos HaKadoshim, for some reason, he's only looking at the heads of them. Maybe only Avraham Avinu. But when he looks at the Imahis, Umigvais Ashirenu, he sees all the Imahis. Why is that? Why when it comes to the Avos HaKadoshim, it's Kimei Roish Tzurim Arenu? And when it comes to the Imahis, he refers to all of them. Umigvais Ashirenu. That's question number two.
Can he see only one of them or just see the head?
I don't know. You tell me. What does it mean? What is Bilam trying to say when he says Kimei Roish Tzurim Arenu? The heads. It's only their heads. When he sees Avos, it's like he looks at Mount Rushmore. He only sees the heads, but the Yemais, he sees the whole. What is that talking about? And then Bilam continues, and he says, "You know why I can't curse them? I can't curse them because Uva Goyim Lo Yischashav. They don't mingle with the Goyim. They don't mingle with the Goyim. Who cares? What does that got to do with anything? They don't mingle with the Goyim. What, there's a halacha? You can't curse Klal Yisrael if they mingle with the Goyim? I mean, what's that got to do with anything? And then Bilam says, Mimana Afra Yaakov. Who could count the dust of Yaakov? What's that talking about? What dust? What, the dust in their shoes? You know, when they come home after a long day of work? What dust? Whoa. And who's counting the dust? Who would want to count the dust? And why is he calling us dust? And why is the fact that we're dust the reason that he can't curse us? So the whole inyan of these psukim. First of all, why Bilam introduces his drasha by saying, I come from Aram. Yeah, right? Who really cares? What does that got to do with anything? Number two, why Bilam says, I see the heads of the Avos. Okay, very nice. And what's the point of Agoyim, La Yischashav, says the Nachlas David of David Tevel in his drashas, Kaleila Hadvarim Hema Alume Hakavana, all of these things, we'll say it in French, don't make any sense, right? Doesn't make any sense. Ein Chazionam Nifrat, we can't understand it. Okay. So the Nachlas David begins his approach to understand the whole inyan of Bilam coming to curse Klal Yisrael with the Gemara and Brachas, right? We're going to give you a little test. Ready? How many fathers did we have? Right? How many fathers? Three, right? Even though there are four fathers, we had three fathers. Who are they? Very good. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Says the Gemara, are we allowed to call anyone else an Av? You know, let's say I wake up one morning and I'm in the mood of saying, you know, Levi was also one of the Avos. Am I allowed to do that? No. Let's say I say, I want to call Moshe an Av. You know, I like him, Moses. You know, he's a nice guy. He took us out of Egypt. I want to call him an Av. You know, he gave us that manna bread, you know, where you could think, you could imagine, taste like. I want to call him a father, you know. Are you allowed to call Moshe a father? No. You allowed to call Shlomo a father? No. Only three. Says the Gemara in Brachas, Tanu Rabbanan. Ein, Kairin, Avos, Elo L'Shloisha. You could only call three individuals Avos. How about Imahis? The Ein, Kairin, Imahis, Elo L'Arba. You can only call four Imahis. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. Let's say somebody says, you know what? Chana, I like the name. Chana, you know. I like that story. I want to call her a mother also. No, we don't let her. You're not allowed to, okay? That doesn't matter. What about Elishava? No. No, Devorah, all these great Jewish women, they're not Imahis. They're not Imahis.
What about Zilpah and
Bilhah? No, can't call them Imahis either. Can't call them Imahis. Okay, that's a good one, but you can't call them Imahis. Says the Gemara, why? Why? Why can't you call anyone else an Av? My Taima. In other words, why can't we call Reuven an Av, Shimon an Av, Levi an Av? Why not? Well, we have something against Zevulun. Says the Gemara, maybe the reason you can't call Zevulun an Av is, what do you mean he's an Av? We don't know we come from Zevulun, so you're going to call him a father? Says Gemara, Ilema mishem dolayadina ni me Reuven kasinan ni me Shimon kasinan. If the reason why we can't call the Shvatim Avos is because we don't know which one we come from, Ihachi, if so, Imahis nami layadinan. The Imahis also, Ime Rachel kasin ime Leah. Don't tell me the reason we can't call Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Avi, because we don't really know which one we come from, because we don't know if we come from Rachel or if we come from Leah. Elamai, why do we only call three people Avos? Ad hacha chashivi, tfei loy chashivi. Avraham was chashuv, right? If Avraham was going, on a shidduch, and they called up, the mashgiach called up about Avraham, he would be able to say, yeah, Avraham was very chashuv, right? He's a chashuv guy. Yitzchak was chashuv. Yaakov was chashuv. After that, they weren't really as chashuv. That's what the Gemara says. They were great people. They're kosher cousins, but compared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they didn't reach quite that level. And therefore, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are others. After them, they don't meet the bar. Yosef. So Yosef, we once had a whole shir from the Pachad Yitzchak that Yosef was what we call an Av and a Ben. And that's why Yosef is mentioned both in Sefer Bereishis and the beginning of Shemais. Rav Yisrael Kuttner says that's why at the end of Bereishis it ends with the death of Yosef, and the beginning of Shemais begins with the death of Yosef, because Yosef bridged the gap between the Avos and the Shvatim and the Banim. The Ramban says that Sefer Bereishis is the book of the Avos, Sefer Shemais is the book of the Banim, and Yosef is mentioned in both because he was both an Av and a Ben. And we explain that's how we understand the pasuk in Tehillim, B'nei Yaakov v'Yosef Sela. We once spoke about that by Shaul Shudas. But in general, we're only allowed to call three of us, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. As the Nachlas David. The Gemara is only explaining why we can't call Avos people after Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why can't we call Avos people before Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Maybe Shem. Why can't we call Shem an Av? Shem was a very holy guy, right? Shem, what did Shem do for a living? He's a Rosh Hashiva. He's a Rosh Hashiva. He sat and learned. Where Yaakov Avinu, where did he go to learn? Right? He didn't go to Brisk. He went to Yeshiva Shem Eva. Shem was a big Rosh Hashiva. Mr. Shelach lived more than 900 years. That's called Arichas Yamim, right? He lived a long time. Why can't he be an Av? The Gemara is only addressing why the people after Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are not Avos. The Gemara is not even entertaining the possibility that great people, why can't Adam, he's not an Av? Right? The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, by the way, tonight is the yard side of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, his Chusa Yagen Aleinu. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says that the neshamos of all of mankind were in Adam HaRishon. So, right, he was considered the great tree.
Wasn't a Jew.
So why can't Adam HaRishon be a father? Was Avram a Jew?
Yeah, first
Jew. Who says? Why can't Noach be a father? Noach, right? We say in the davening, Rosh Hashanah, Ve'gam es Noach bi'ava zocharte v'atifkedeo b'fkudas Yeshua v'rachamim kein zaroi hayoim lanu tizkar. So why can't Noach be a father? What's wrong? So somebody said he's a Zayda, he's not a father. But why can't he be a father? Why can't he be a father? Says the Nachlas David, an awesome idea. What is a father? How do we define the concept father? A father is one who in him is the koyach of the son and the grandson and the great-grandson ad soif kol hadoros. In other words, remember when Cain killed Hevel, what does Hashem say to Cain? Kol demei achicha tzoyak emelai. The voice of the bloods of your brother. Why bloods? How many? Yeah, your person has dam. Why demei? Says the Tagamunkas. Dam of the dam zarisav. In other words, a father contains in him, not just him. You look at a father, in the father is the son. His physical makeup, right? Right? The father is moirish koyach to the son. The father gives the son his physical makeup, his spiritual DNA. A father is the one who allows the son to exist. But it's not just when the son is here, we say, the father created him. Even before the son comes to the scene, the son, the grandson, the great-grandson, are all nichlal in the father. However, we find that Avraham Avinu was not supposed to have any continuity whatsoever. Avraham Avinu looks in the stars, and he says, Hashem, what is this business you're telling me then I'm going to have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I look in the stars, and I see the star, the constellations that represent the nations of the world. The stars that represent Greece, Rome, Persia, and all the great empires. And they all have their source in the mazalos, in the stars. That means, naturally, they have existence. They have a source of nourishment in the physical world. But I, Avraham says, I look in the stars. And you know what the stars say about me and my people? They say about me and my people that we should not exist. You know why? Because there is no luminary that directly corresponds to me and my people. Which means if Avraham Avinu was able to look with the best telescopes and NASA technology and understand astrology, Alpi Amoraim and Alpi the Gemara, the natural setup of the heavenly bodies was that there should be no Avraham and no Jewish people. Because as we see, Avraham naturally was an Akar. He was not physically capable of having children. He was impotent, says the Gemara, even he was a tumtum. Sarah was not just an Akara. Sarah was not just incapable. Sarah was an islandess, says the Gemara in Yevamos. She did not even have a uterus. Rivka, Rachel, Leah were by nature Akarais. And therefore, naturally, there should be no Klal Yisrael. And therefore, if we were to look in Noach and say, Noach, what is included in you? We would say Noach and his son and the second generation and the third generation and the fourth generation and the fifth up till Abraham. Ad kan v'sulai. That's it. If you were to look in the physical makeup of Noach, the spiritual makeup of Noach, included in Noach was only until Avraham, and that's it. Why? Because Avraham was not supposed to have any physical continuity by the laws of nature. And even more than that, Reb Yitzchak Isaac Chaver points out in the Sefer Ein Mazal Yisrael that besides the fact that Avraham was not supposed to have any continuity, Avraham himself, by nature, should have left this world in the middle of his career. When? When he was thrown into Orkaz, when he was thrown into the fire. Avraham Avinu was thrown into the fire. Naturally, that should have been the end of him. And therefore, if we would examine through proper lenses what was included in Adam HaRishon, what was included in Noach, included in them was all the generations up until Avraham Avinu, and that's it. But they did not include the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kahas, Amram, all the generations of Klal Yisrael, they did not include me and you. In other words, while we may physically be able to trace, biologically, our lineage back to Noach and back to Adam, they are not our father. Because God did not include in them us. The plan was they would have children, grandchildren, until Abraham. But then something changed. What happened in the times of Abraham? Hashem says to Abraham, you're right, Abraham. Naturally, you should have no continuity whatsoever. Naturally, there is no star, no constellation that corresponds to you. But what I'm going to do is like the Navi says in Yeshaya, Ani Hashem Barasi Abraham. I will create Abraham Avinu. Abraham was created anew. Who was Abraham's father? Spiritually? Yibar Hashem. Right? No immaculate conception of it, right? We only believe in immaculate reception. No immaculate conception. We're not talking about the biology of Abraham. We're talking about the spiritual genetics of Abraham. There is no connection between Abraham and Terah. And now we understand. The last pasuk in Parashas Noach is, Vayamos Terach b'Charan. Terach died. Then Hashem says, Vayem Hashem al Avraham lach lecha. So Rashi's bothered. What do you mean Terach died? Terach didn't die yet. Terach is still alive. Terach didn't die until many, many years after Avraham left. So Rashi says, well, we don't want people to know that Terach didn't die yet because it would look bad for Avraham that he just, you know, left home. He left his old elderly father. So we wrote in the Chumash, Terach died, even though he didn't. That's what Rashi says. What does that really mean? What that means is, And this is the way the Hafla explains it, and this is the way the Maral explains it, that conceptually, once God speaks to Avraham Avinu and selects Avraham Avinu, and Avraham emerges from Ur Kasdim, Terach is as good as dead. There is no connection between Avraham and Terach. Terach's career in relation to Avraham is, he's over with. He's kaput. It's ke'ilu, he's a mace. Why? Because once Avraham emerges from Ur Kasdim and he's being recreated, that's what it says. Vayetzu Avraham Ur Kasdim, once Avraham comes out of that fire and is created anew, it's like he doesn't have a father now. He's not related to Terach. He's not related to Noach. He's not related to Adam. He's a new being. It's as if Terach is dead. That's the meaning of Rashi. And in fact, the Hafla explains, does anybody know, in the certain editions of Sifrei Torah, there's a very special letter that appears by the words Vayamas Terach Becharan. There is an upside down nun in the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah don't have it. But Rashi's Sefer Torah had it. There's an upside down nun. And Rashi explains why. Because until Avraham came to the world, there was great anger in the world. Charoi naf. Avraham comes to the world and he changes that. Hafla explains, we said a number of times, the nun by Vayivin Saya Ha'arain represents what? The Shar Nun, the 50th gate of Kedusha. Basically, what the Hafla explains is that until Avraham Avinu, the world was on the 50th level of Tumah. It had sunk to bottom, bottom, bottom. Whereupon Avraham comes and he turns it over. He starts to turn the page from the 50th level of Tumah. He is now moving Klal Yisrael up to the 50 levels of Kedusha. But Avraham and Terach biologically have a connection. But as a spiritual heir, Avraham has no relation with Terach. Terach is as good as dead. And therefore, when we talk about who our Avos are, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Terach? Shem? Noach? Adam? Nice people? Nothing to do with us. They're not related to us. We have no commonality with them. We have no relation to them. We have no connection to them. Not even Noach. Not even Shem, not Terach, nobody. We only have three of us: Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Therefore, says the Nachlas David, if that's the case, Balak understood that if he's going to undermine the Jewish people, you know, it's like you're cutting down a tree. What are you going to do? You want to cut down a tree. So you take your chainsaw and you chop it in half? Not going to work. The tree's going to regenerate. So what do you got to do? You got to uproot. You got to uproot. So Balak understands, in order to affect Klal Yisrael, he needs to get to our roots. He needs to get to our Shoresh. He needs to get to the core of Klal Yisrael, where we come from. And that is the Avos HaKadosh. Says the Nachlas David. You know, a wise man once said, no one can hurt like a brother. No one can kill like a spouse. Right? You ever hear that? Those closest to you can hurt you more than anyone else. That's the way it is. Right? So a brother could hurt you a lot more than a stranger. That's the way it goes. The closer someone is to you, the more ability they have to hurt you. Whether it's in the physical world, socially, emotionally, and in the spiritual world as well. Says the Nachas David. That means Balak understands that if he's going somehow to affect the Jewish people, he has to do it through someone who's related to them, connected to them, someone who comes from the same areas of the world that they come from. And therefore, Balak goes to our place of origin. Where did Avraham Avinu come from? Padan Aram. Where did Sarah come from? Padan Aram. Where did Rivka come from? Padan Aram. Where did Rachel come from? Padan Aram. Where did Leah come from? Padan Aram. And therefore Balak says, I know exactly where I'm going. I'm going to Aram. There is the only location where I could find someone who could get to their core. And therefore he selects none other than Bilam min Aram Yanchini Balak. He has to, in order to affect the Jewish people, he has to get to our core. And that is why, throughout the Parsha, Every single thing Bilam does is to counteract the koyach of Avraham Avinu. What does Bilam do? He wakes up early in the morning, he saddles his own donkey. Hashem said, not so fast. Avraham already beat you to it. Shenemar, vayashkim Avraham avoyker. Well, what is this? There was a competition between Bilam and Balak. Who could wake up earlier in the morning to start the donkey? No, this is the battle. Bilam is trying to undermine the very roots, the shayrish of Klal Yisrael. So Bilam feels, I gotta wake up early in the morning, undermine Avram. Hashem said, no, Avram Avinu already did it. Don't worry. How many mizbechos does Bilam build?
Seven.
And he makes a big point of it. He says, as shivas ha-mizbechos arachti. Says Rashi, he doesn't say shivas mizbechos, but he says, as shivas ha-mizbechos. The altars. Why the altars? Bilam says to Hashem, look at these guys. Their avos in total only built seven altars. Avraham built four. Yitzchak built one. Yaakov built two. And I on my own, I'm able to counteract them through my seven. What is this? This is like, ping pong. You seven here, seven there. Well, what's the battle? The battle is, in order to undermine Klal Yisrael, Bilam needs to get to the roots. And that is why you find, Bilam's traveling to attack Klal Yisrael. So the first time it says, he's going on the road, and one side there's a wall, and the other side is open. And then the second time the first time it's open on both sides. He could veer to the right, veer to the left. The second time he's going on one side, there's a wall, he's able to, turn to the other side. And then the third time, he's boxed in on all two sides. Says Rashi, yeah, God is showing him about the avos. What do the avos got to do with walls? So the Sifsei Chachamim explains what Hashem was showing Balak was, you want to attack Avraham? You have two ways to go. You could get them from the angle of Yishmael. You could get them from the angle of the B'nai Keturah. You want to attack Yitzchak? That's why the first time it was open on both sides, says the Sifsei Chachamim. You want to attack Yitzchak? You have one angle, Esav. But you want to attack Yaakov Avinu? Mitasa Shlema, there's no room to attack. That's why Yaakov Avinu was Bechir Shabbavais. He sealed the deal. He made us impenetrable. But this was the Mahalach of Bilam. Bilam was coming from his connection, his deep-seated connection, the fact that he came from the same city as us. He was related to us, especially according to what we learned last year, that who was Bilam? Bilam was none other than Lavan Ho'arami. As the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says in number 9, Bishadar is Gedin Levas Lavan Arami Hu Bilam. Right? So somebody asked, what, Bilam lived 500 years? Five, right? From Lavan's time, right? He had a lot of fish oil, so he lived a very long time, right? Bilam was Lavan. By the way, Medrash Tanchum also says Bilam was Lavan. That's what it means. Bikesh Lavan Laker Sakol. When did he want to destroy everything? Bilam. Same person.
Biblical or actual?
It's a big discussion, but there are those who say actual. Some say he was his son, some say he was his grandson, some say great-grandson, some say it was him, and some say Gilgal. Different opinions. Look in the Ben Yehoyada. Different opinions. But, in any event, if we say that Bilam was Lavan, Lavan's our Zayda. Lavan is our... We all come from Lavan. Right? Every single person in this room can trace back their lineage to Lavan. Note that, right? Either you come from Rachel or Leah, right? Or Bilhah or Zilpah, right? But we all come from Lavan. In fact, the Marsha and the Sechta Megillah, when you're Maver Sedra, you do the Chumash twice and you do Unklus one time. Now, Unklus was not the one who innovated Unklus. The Gemara says in Megillah, Unklus is from Harsinai. So if it's from Harsinai, why is it written in Lashon Aramis, Aramaic? The Marsha says, Aramaic? That's our ancestral language from the Zayda Lavan. We always spoke Aramaic, the Marsha says, in Masechta Megillah. That's the first language we spoke, right? When Yaakov Avinu was out working and learning, and you're right, and our Imahis were raising us in Lavan's house, which language did you think we heard from our Zayda Lavan? Aramis. That's why Aramis is the native language of the Jewish people. So if we say Bilam is Lavan, and Lavan is our relative, so Lavan and Bilam are the perfect candidate to be the ones to curse Klal Yisrael, and therefore Bilam begins his public address, Min Aram Yamcheni Balak. Before I start, let me tell you what my credentials are. My credentials are I'm from Aram and I'm the best candidate. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Even though ki meroish tzurim arenu, I look at their avos and I see the roish of the avos. Who's the roish of the avos? Avraham. He comes from Aram. Now Yitzchak doesn't come from Aram. He's born in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov doesn't come from Aram. He's born in Eretz Yisrael. But when I look at the tzurim, I see ki meroish tzurim arenu. Their first one comes from Aram. And when it comes to the imais, umigivais, all the imais come from Aram. And really, I should be the best candidate to curse Klal Yisrael. But you know why I can't do it? Uvagoyim lo yischashav. Because I'm not related to them. I'm not related to the Klal Yisrael. You know why I'm not related to them? Because Avraham Avinu physically should not exist. There is no mazel corresponding to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu should have been long gone in the fire. He has no physical existence. And I would like to add, that is why the next words of the pasuk are, Mimana Afar Yaakov. Who could count the dust of Yaakov? Why Afar? Avraham Avinu says, Anoichi Afar Va'efer. I should have been Afar. Right? I should have been Afar through the Akedah. Excuse me, through the Ur Kasdim. In other words, what Bilam is saying, because Klal Yisrael is Nimshal Le'afar, which means we have no physical existence, I'm not related to them anymore. I may be their physical grandfather, I may have a common physical DNA, but I'm not their Av. Not only am I not their Av, I am not related to them. The Klal Yisrael has no relations to the Umay Sa'ilam. While the world would like to say we're all brothers, we're all sisters, we're all family, it's not true. We're not family. We're not brothers. We're not sisters. We and the Umos HaOlam share nothing in common. We're not cousins. We're not second cousins. We're not related. We have nothing in common with them.
About the Israelis?
Especially, yeah. Ki be Yitzchak yikarei Zara. Only Yitzchak is considered the seed of Avraham Avinu. And therefore the Nachas David says, while Bilam is saying, ki min Aram yanchini Balam, that really I should have been the best candidate for the job. And kimei roish tzurim arenu, I see Avraham is from Aram. Umigvois ashurenu, and I see Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah are from Aram. Nevertheless, uvagoyim lo yischashav, we're not related. We have no connection. So let's understand that a little bit. Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Hashem says, Avraham, you think that by looking in the stars, you don't see that you have any source in the constellations, right? There's a concept that everything in this world, God controls. Look in the Derech Hashem and the Ramchal. Everything is orchestrated through the movements of the heavens. And there is no constellation or heavenly body corresponding to Klal Yisrael. Which means, if we were to look into the heavens and ascertain, what does nature have to say about our future as a people? Right? Let's say we were to look into the heavens and understand the meaning. What do the constellations have to say about our future? They say we should be annihilated. They say we should not exist. There is no physical constellation corresponding to us. But Hashem tells Avraham, "Say may it's dagnina shacha." Forget about it. Forget about that. Hashem took him lemala may it's dagnina. He took him above the stars, and he said, "Ein mazal Yisrael." The Jews are not affected by this system. Okay. So then, what light, what luminary are we connected to then? If we have no corresponding force in nature, then what force are we connected to? Says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver was another Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, and he brings out much of the Jewish thought, much of the Machshava, the Vilna Gaon. And Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver says, every nation has to have its source in some ma'ar, in some luminary. What is our source? Our source is Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah Ayar. Our luminary, our great body of light is the Torah, which means like this. Naturally, we have no existence whatsoever. If we connect to the Torah Mitzvahs, then we are connecting to the greatest source of strength. And then Klal Yisrael was able to rise above all the Umay Sa'ilam and experience unparalleled success, financially, economically, socially, politically, because we are rooted in the highest source. But when we disconnect from the Torah and we have no source in the Torah, then what do you think is going to happen? We have no source in nature. Then what happens is the absolute annihilation, chas v'shalom, of the Jewish people. That is the pattern of history. We connect to the Torah, we're successful. We don't connect to the Torah, we can't. Not that we can't be successful. Not that we're going to, you know, barely make it. Not that things are going to be difficult and hard. We can't exist. We can't exist. We have no source in existence. That is the pattern of Jewish history. And it says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Klover, that is what the Gemara meant, what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said. Ashreichem Yisrael! Klal Yisrael is fortunate that we are connected to something other than physical phenomena. We are connected to the light of the Torah. You connect to the Torah, Ein Uma V'Lashon Yechaylem Lishloit Bahem. Nobody can have any dominion over us. They're connected to stars and the sun. We're connected to a much greater source. But when we disconnect from the Torah, not only will we be below the nations of the world, we have absolutely zero existence. That is the explanation for what Zeresh understood, right? Even Haman's wife understood this. Haman's wife said, we are like the stars or we're like the dirt. What did she mean? She meant like this. Haman, just look at the direction. If you have ascendancy and you're about to trample on them, you know what that means? They're not keeping the Torah. You'll destroy them. But once they start to rise, that means they're connected to the Torah. Forget about it. Forget about it. They're either compared to the stars or they're compared to the dirt. And that perhaps is what Bilam is saying. Since Uva Goyim Lo Yischashav, since they're not related to any other Goyim, why? Because Mimana Afra Yaakov. Because Klal Yisrael is Nimshal La'afar, which means we have no physical existence. Our existence is dependent on something else entirely. And therefore, that is the explanation for the history of Klal Yisrael. Like the Gemara says in the Masechta Ksubos, back to number 2. Ashreichem Yisrael. We are very fortunate. Bizman she'oisin ritzayna shel makoim, ein kalum avlashin shel eftes bahem. Bizman she'ein oisin ritzayna shel makoim, meisrin biyadu mashfela. We are not connected to the mazalos, the kachav, and the marechas hashamayim. We're connected to what Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Klover calls the ar haganos of the Torah. That is our light. That's our luminary. You connect to the Torah, we're on the top of the world. You don't, we have no existence. That is why the Maral explains, when Avram Avinu comes to the scene, the Torah makes a point to say, Terach is dead. What do you mean Terach is dead? Terach didn't die. No. Conceptually, Terach is not in the picture. If Avram Avinu is on the scene, there is no connection to Terach. It's as if Terach has ceased to exist. And we'll conclude, you know, we're in the month. What?
Why?
Because Avram Avinu was recreated by Hashem after the Kibshan Ha'esh, as if he was never here before, a brand new creation, and his connection to his previous existence is nothing. It's nothing. He's not connected. He's not related to Terach. It comes out, Rabbi Isai, that we always lay in Parshas Balak in Chodesh Tammuz. Chodesh Tammuz. You know, Rosh Hashanah is far off. But when you lay in Parshas Balak, you can't help but notice all of the many, many psukim that we read in Parshas Balak, that we find in Zechronos, right, in Shofarot, in Malchios, full of psukim about what we lay in on Rosh Hashanah, what we say in Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, Rabbi Yonatan Eibishitz points out, the entire story of Parshas Balak takes place from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur. Kemavur b'medrash. Very interesting. The Makar for Tkiah Shofar is also from Balak. What does Balak say? What does Bilam say? Bilam says, Hashem Eloikav Imoi Usruas Melech Boi. The psukim of the themes of Rosh Hashanah are Mevur and Parshas Balak. It's interesting, in the Sifrei Chasidus, they bring down, you know, Elul, of course, is the time when we begin doing tshuva, right? We pointed out from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that the word Elul comes from the Targum of Elul. What does Elul mean? Right? It says, Shalach lecha anashim v'yasuru es eretz Canaan. Spy out the land of Canaan. Says the Targum, v'yasuru v'alelon. V'alelon, Elul. The word Elul in Targum means to spy out. Elul is a month We spy out ourselves, our personalities, our character traits. We investigate ourselves. What do you do in the month of Av? In Av, you know, the psalms say Av stands for Eloba. Right? Av stands for Eloba. How about Tammuz? As they say, Zmanei Tshuva Memash Meshen Ubaim. You know, the period of Tshuva, it's coming. It's even though we'd like to push it off, you know, we'll deal with it when we get there, but nevertheless, even during these summer months, it has to be in our mind, the approaching Yemei Hadin, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, and so forth. Very interesting. We say in the Tefillah and Rosh Hashanah, when we refer to, in Zechronos, we say about Noach, V'gam es Noach bi'ahava zacharta, and also Noach remembered with love, Bav tifkedeo bifkudas Yeshua v'racham. And the Nachlas David wants to understand, what does it mean, V'gam? V'gam es Noach. What does the word V'gam mean? And also. In other words, like Noach is like a side point. He's a tangential. And also Noach. Like, you know, we don't really care about Noach. Noach is not really that important. But Noach also. What's this lashon of V'gam and also? We don't say V'gam by any of the other 29 psukim quoted in Malchiyos, Zechronos, and Shepharos. Right? Kakosev v'yad neviyecha, kakosev v'divei kochecha, shenemar, v'nemar. See, and it says, and it says, and it says, and it says. All of a sudden by Noach, and also Noach. Like, you know, who cares about Noach? Says the Nachas David, what is this with Noach? This is as we've just explained. As much as we think we trace back our lineage to Noach, we've got nothing to do with Noach. Noach has nothing to do with us. We are related to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and no one before. No one before. In fact, the Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver says, you know, we pointed out from the Rechaim HaKadosh that all the neshamas were included in Adam HaRishon. That is, except for the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. They weren't in him. Because there were not supposed to be any neshamas of Klal Yisrael. Naturally speaking, there was not supposed to be any Yisrael. Yisrael was a new creation beginning with Avraham Avinu. And therefore, says in Achaz David, what we're saying to the Ribbon Shalom is, even though Uvagoyim lo Yischashav, we're not related to Terach, we're not related to Noach, we're not related to Adam, we're not related to Shem, we're not related to Mr. Shalach. But just like on Sukkot, you know, as a side point, we bring some karbanos, kenega de umais ha'ilam. So Rosh Hashanah, by the way, Hashem, on Rosh Hashanah, you also remember the goyim for the good, so, you know, give them a, you know, throw them a bone, give them something also, and remember us. But the goyim, the Noach, are a side point, they're tangential. All they get is v'gam, yeah.
David HaMelech,
that
7 years, Amalav
Shon.
David HaMelech.
Adam gave 7 years.
Look.
You wanted
to Terach begat Avraham also, right? Terach begat Avraham. But still, we're not talking about, you know, the physical. Okay, there's more to it, though. There's more to it. So that's the idea. That the idea is that the history of Klal Yisrael is unaffected by the laws of the universe, unaffected by the laws of nature. We have a different source. We are rooted in a different luminary. We are rooted in a different great body of light. We are rooted in the Torah. When we connect to the source of light, when we connect to the Torah, we experience unparalleled success. When we disconnect from the Torah, we have no existence whatsoever. That is the understanding of the history of Klal Yisrael. And this is a lesson that Balak did not understand. Balak says, I'll get Bilam from Aram. Him and Avraham, you know, they grew up together. Like, you know, like it says in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Mineu be Abba, Nezel be Narga, right? From the forest itself comes the handle for the axe. And that's what Chazal say, right? How do you cut down a forest? You take a tree from that very forest and you carve it into the handle of the axe. The way with, right? Like we find in the Gemara, who destroyed Mayav? Who was Mochatz Pa'asei Mayav? David. Why? Because David came from Mayav. Only if you are rooted in that same source could you destroy them. So Balak says, Bilam's the guy for the job. He comes from Aram. They come from Aram. He's the handle for the axe that comes from the forest itself. But the problem that he didn't understand, that Balak explained to him, Uvagoyim layischashav, we have no connection, we have no relation, we're not connected to the Umay Sa'ilam. They have their root, we have our root, and therefore, Ashreichem Yisrael, we are very fortunate. Have a great evening. Yes.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.